Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
One of the guys on LIPD, he said something that really struck me. He says, "You are who you hang out with." And he was talking about younger people and how they can influence. But I was thinking, that's true for everybody. And I was thinking about when I was a kid, and I had a couple cousins. They could really get you in trouble. My one cousin, we go into the local store there, and we walk in there, and he says, "You be the lookout." And he goes over to the ice cream bin, and he opens it up, and he had a hoodie on, and he took some ice cream sandwiches, and he starts stuffing them in his pouch. I'm like, "Oh, I can't believe he's..." And I'm just like freaking out and stuff. Well, he got caught. And Mary, the owner of the store, she talked to me later and she says, "Rick, I saw how scared you are, where I know you really didn't want to be there. I got some great advice for you. That happens again, walk away." And I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. So probably about 4 years later, another cousin of mine, we were walking down the street. There was this bulldozer, and the guy was bulldozing this land and stuff. And for some reason, these kids were throwing rocks at the bulldozer. And my cousin decides to participate. And I remembered what Mary said about walk away. So I turned around and I walked away. A little while later, the police showed up, called all the parents, took all the kids home. And all of them, of course, got in trouble. I was so thankful that I walked away. There's a verse in James 4:4. James 4:4. And I'm going to start in the middle of the first sentence. "Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Walk away.
Into the unknown. To feel the warmth that others seem to know, but should I never feel a thing, I claim him even so.
The biggest battle we ever fight is not against giants. It's not wives against husbands or husbands against wives. It's not parents against children. The biggest battle we fight is with ourselves. Now, the best way I can illustrate this is to illustrate what it's like to go on a diet. Now, I have a different view of diets. Now, don't follow this. I'm not recommending it. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just trying to show you how my mind works. And that's going to be rather difficult for you to understand. But when I decided that I had to lose weight, I was 205 pounds. And I thought, well, I should lose at least 20 or 25 or 30. But I'm not going on a diet. I refuse to change the way I eat. I'm just not going to change the way I eat. I like my sweets. I like my chocolate. I'm going to keep eating my sweets and eating my chocolate. And that was my mindset. So then I discovered that diets aren't about food. Food doesn't make you fat. Calories make you fat. So my thinking was, well, wait a minute. If it's not the food that makes you fat, it's the calories that make you fat, then what are calories? What are the units of heat? And I figured, well, since the body has to be at a temperature of 98.6 degrees on average, then these calories keep the body at a temperature of 98.6. And therefore, if you don't use up all the calories, then all you have to do is realize those calories are stored as fat. Then my next thought was, well, if the calories are stored as fat, but what happens if you eat too few calories to maintain that 98.6? If you eat too few calories, then what happens is the body takes the fat and turns it back into calories. Now, wait a minute. Now, here's the thing. If you think it's food is your reason why you gain weight, then you're always thinking about food. You've got to understand that people who run weight loss clinics, they take food with less calories, and they're controlling your diet. They're changing your diet. That's good. This is all good. Don't do what I'm saying. This is what I did. And I understood that, wow, if I watch the calories and control the calories, I'll lose weight. And I did. I eat chocolate. I eat sweets. Now, mind you, sweets have too many calories. So if there's too many calories, stores as fat. So I know what to do. But the point I'm telling you is, it's the way you look at food. You're looking at food as your problem. Food's not your problem. Calories are your problem. And so what do diets do? They cut down the number of calories in your food and they change your diet. And that makes sense. It works. So it worked for me. And the biggest fight I ever had was trying to lose that weight because it involved a battle with myself. And when you're hungry, you're always thinking about food. But when you think about calories, it changes your mindset. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We're thankful, Lord, that I did what I did, and I don't recommend it to anybody. And I'm not giving a scientific explanation. I'm just saying how my mind worked. Help us all. And Father, I pray that you would help us today to understand that you know what a real battle is. It's a battle with the flesh. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 20, and then verses 24 and 25. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. And then verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. It's interesting. There are three types of people described in the Bible. And we're going to ask you later on, which one are you? Because I thought, I wonder which one I am. One, there's a natural man, completely controlled by the flesh. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and can't understand them because they are only discerned by the Spirit. So the natural man can't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. But does that mean that the natural man is evil? No, not in itself. Let me give you an example. Down the street from us, there's a fire station. And the fire station contains some 18 men. Not all of them are Christians. In fact, some may be atheists. Some might be Buddhists. Not every one of those 18 people in the fire station down the street are Christians. So since they're not all Christians, nonetheless, they all hold by a standard of good. They all are interested in saving lives. They're all interested in committing themselves to the well-being of other people. So you can be a non-Christian and do good things, but you are controlled by the flesh. Two, there's a spiritual person who's controlled by the Holy Spirit, who grasps the truth of God's word and hungers for more. All right, here's what it says. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. 1 Corinthians 2:15 and 16 says, who has known the mind of the Lord so he can instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the spiritual person is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to illustrate this. I had a friend named Sal Dentisi. Sal was quite an interesting guy, and for a long time he lived a reprobate life. In fact, he's the one that developed those little kiosks that were outside department stores and supermarkets where you brought your films into this kiosk, and they took the films, and they processed them, and then you went back and picked them up. He designed those, and he made a fortune by designing them. He made a fortune. Then he accepted Christ. And he decided that he wanted to do something with his life that was important. So he bought a Christian bookstore. And in his mind, he thought what he would do is he would sell Christian materials to people to help them understand the ways of the Lord. So he came to Washington Island and he said to me, Pastor Gall, I've heard some of your messages on the radio and I would like to take your messages and sell them in my bookstore. I said, well, that sounds good. But I said, the messages I give are not for sale. I said, you can have them. You can use them any way you want. And he said, oh, that sounds really good to me. And what happened was, he said, he would give these sermons that I preached out to people. He said, one day he had a man come in who was a Quaker, a very good man. And this man would go to a book and he would say, "Dear God, is it okay for me to buy this book?" And then he would take a book. He'd go around and see another book and say, "Dear God, is it okay for me to buy a book?" After a while, he'd take the book and he'd go to another one and say, "Now, dear God, I want you to know if it's okay for me to buy this book." And he did this for four or five books. And he went up to the counter and he said to Sal, "Sal, I want to buy these books." And here's what Sal said: "Lord, should I sell them to him?" Okay, you see, what's interesting is we've got to know what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is that we all understand that he is on our side. All right? Now, a spiritual person is controlled by the Holy Spirit. He grasps the truth of God's word and hungers for more. And here's a verse. "The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. Who has known the mind of the Lord so he can instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Christians have the mind of Christ. As Christians, we must realize that the flesh did not move out when the Holy Spirit moved in. The flesh did not move out when the Holy Spirit entered into your life. The spiritual person uses the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to fight back. Okay? Now, what is a carnal Christian? I'm more at home with this because I understand this better than a spiritual Christian. What is a carnal Christian? All right? Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Reads like this: "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit of God, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For instance, there is jealousy and quarreling among you. Are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere human beings? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings?" I remember understanding that it was very important to know whether or not you were working the flesh in your own strength or in God's power. And I met a fella named David Russell. And David Russell was a very nice guy. I'd known him for years, but I didn't know he was a Christian. I had no idea that he was a Christian. He seemed to be more interested in being popular and being accepted by people than serving the Lord. I didn't know he was a Christian. And one day I got saved, and I decided that I would share my faith with other people. And David came to me one day and said, "You know, Gaul, can I meet with you in private?" He said, "You know, I'm a Christian." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." He said, "I really am. But," he said, I was kind of afraid to stand up." I said, "Well, why were you afraid to stand up?" He said, "Because I wanted to be popular. I wanted people to like me." "Oh," I said, "well, I like you, but," I said, "who's more important to you, what God thinks or people think?" He said, "You know, it's more important to me to know what people think." And so he began associating with me, and in associating with me, helped me help him. Who do you associate with? You need help. You can't stand for the Lord alone. He doesn't expect you to. You see, what happens is a carnal Christian is absorbed more in what people think than in what God says. 2, a carnal Christian is preoccupied with people, tends to focus more on people than God, pursues relationships with people than a relationship with God, seeks personal goals and agendas, probably has an unhealthy dependence on friendships and other relationships. They're more interested in what they want than what God wants for them. They say, "Not thy will, but my will be done." Wow, that's kind of like me. Who doesn't want to be popular? Well, it doesn't mean as a Christian you're not popular. It just means that you're focusing on the wrong thing. You see, a carnal Christian lacks spiritual growth. God wants his children to grow. And how do we grow? How do you grow physically? Sleep. We grow by food, exercise. God wants his children to grow, and we grow by reading the scriptures. We grow by prayer. We grow by being accountable to God. We grow by ministering to others. We grow by acts and behaviors that show our maturity in our lives. We serve God by growing up, by acting adult rather than children. What is a carnal Christian? I wanted to know that because it's surely I'm not one. I mean, come on, a carnival Christian maybe, but not a carnal Christian. I mean, look at me, man. And then I thought, wait a minute. A carnal Christian separates himself from corporate worship and fellowship, from the church. He's not spiritually disciplined, and he flies solo. Carnal Christian thinks that he's on his own. He flies by his own pilot. He lives by his own rules. So I wanted to ask myself a question. So I built up a questionnaire. I wanted to know what kind of a Christian I was. I had to fill out this questionnaire, which I made for myself. Now, you listen. This is a questionnaire I want you to listen to. Am I growing spiritually? Do I focus more on God or on myself? Am I consumed by my relationship with other people? Does my life reveal Christ in me? Am I ready to be popular and well-liked for myself or to glorify God through me? Wow. I met a man named Johnny Taransky when I was a kid, before I was a Christian. And I didn't know at the time Johnny Taransky was a Christian, but one day one of the guys in our group found his wallet. He had dropped his wallet, and one of my friends found it. Well, what he said was, well, hey, listen, we found this wallet, but what we'll do is we'll take the money, and we'll give him back the wallet, and then maybe he'll give us a reward. Well, I'm not good at hiding my sin. I get red-faced. I get stuttering. Oops, I shouldn't have told Mickey that. And anyway, we returned the wallet to Johnny Taransky. Now, we didn't know at the time he was a Christian. So he said to us, boys, he said, I appreciate you returning my wallet. I really do. He said, and you know what? He said, there was money in it. Do you have any idea what happened to the money? And he said, I'm just asking a question. And we all kind of looked a little bit guilty. And he said, well, let me say this to you. I'm a Christian. And the Lord has been a blessing to me. And he means everything in my life. He said, and because of Christ's love for me, he said, I have a great concern for you and your lives. He said, and the money is not important to me. You are. He said, and I know you have the money and you can keep it. He said, but what I want you to really understand is that the Lord loves you, sin and all. And the reason that I care about you is because it's Jesus in me that cares about you. Where are you in your life? What's going on in your head, in your mind, in your relationships? Jesus loves you. The question I asked myself was, now I want to know this about me. And maybe you want to know about you. I want to know, am I carnal? Am I controlled by animal instincts? Am I governed by my human nature or by God's spirit? Who's your best friend? Your flesh or God's spirit? Well, it took me back to my relationship to a little man named Herman Harrell. Herman Harrell was from Moyock, North Carolina, and he was a little country boy. And he spoke with a deep accent. Brother Gall, he said, had a lisp. Brother Gall, he says, I just love you. Thanks for your help. He was very shy. And when Herman Harrell was about to graduate, the year before his graduation, he said, would you come with me and meet my father? Well, I had just finished studying the Greek New Testament. Scholar that I am. And I decided everywhere I go, I'm going to bring my Greek New Testament. The original Greek New Testament. And so I went to his house and I sat down with his family. And I noticed that his father opened with a wonderful, wonderful prayer. And I knew that the siblings that he had were all missionaries. Every one of them was a missionary. And so Dad was praying for them. And then as I sat beside his father, I took my Greek New Testament. Humble man that I am. And I said, hey, look at this. And I put it over so he could see what I was reading. And he looked and he said, what's that? I said, well, that's my Greek New Testament. He said, oh, really? He said, well, I can't read. I said, what? He said, I can't read. My wife's the educated one. She reads. She reads the Bible for our family. He said, and you know what? He said, she's terrific. And then he went on to say, you know, my children love the Lord. He said, because we've raised them with our love for the Lord. He said, and my children, all but Herman right now, are missionaries. And I expect that he will probably serve the Lord on the mission field as well. I thought, isn't that great? Well, when Herman graduated, he got engaged to this most wonderful Christian girl. And he just was such a sweet, loving, wonderful man. On their honeymoon, as they were leaving, they were crossing a railroad tracks and they were both killed by a train. Both killed instantly. Oh. And I remember saying to myself, oh, what a tragedy. And I got to talk to his dad. His dad says, isn't it wonderful that my children are spending their honeymoon with Jesus? Wow. Man. Whoa. Let me ask you the question. Are you growing spiritually? Do you focus on God more than on yourself? Are you concerned by your relationship with other people more than your relationship with God? Does your life reveal Christ in you? Are you ready, seeking to be popular as well as light for yourself or to glorify God through you. One of the most exciting people I ever met who loved the Lord was a man with a tremendous speech impediment. He couldn't talk without lisping like this. And at first I thought he was a slow learner. I really thought there's something wrong with him. But I discovered later that he had been born with a lisp all his life, like this. And when I first met him, I didn't know he lisped like this. And we were talking about the gospel, and we were talking about how many people believed in evolution. And I said, you know, some people really believe in evolution, and people think we come from apes, and they think we talk like this. And then he started talking, and I laughed because I thought he was imitating me. Then I thought, wait a minute, that's how he talks. That's how he talks. And then he gave me his testimony. Cecil Blades said this. You know what he said? I love Jesus more than anything in the whole world, he says. And he got a job as a bartender. Oh my gosh, you should have seen his fellow believers. He got a job as a bartender! And the church was beside themselves, so he was called before the deacons. And the deacon said, what's the idea of getting a job as a bartender? He said, well, let me say something to you. As soon as you get me a better job, I'll take it. But he said, I speak to executives from B.F. Goodrich, people high up in the business world. And you know who they want to sit and talk to? They want to sit and talk to me. And you know what I say to them? Guys, look, all that drinking you do, all you're doing is giving your sins and your troubles swimming lessons. He said, what you really need to know is that Jesus loves you. And whenever they had problems, they'd come and talk to Cecil. And Cecil was able to do more for God than you ever imagined. And you know what? You know how he died? He called me one day and said, Gall, I want you to come and see me. He said, I haven't been well physically. He said, and I want to talk to you before I die. So I went to see him. I said, Cecil, what are you talking about? He says, Gall, he says, I'm dying. I said, oh, Cecil, I'm so sorry. He said, are you nuts? He said, look at me. He says, I have one eye, a speech impediment. He said, and you're asking that I live? He said, you're nuts. He said, I'm not here to ask you to pray for me. He says, my mom doesn't understand, and she's going to be heartbroken. And I want you to pray for my mom, that she won't be heartbroken. He said, listen, Gall. He said, I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world. Well, later on, rather than die in the hospital, he insisted he wanted to die at home. So they brought him home, and he's sitting in front of the television set of all things, and he's dying. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to eat chocolate and watch the Toronto Maple Leafs, a hockey team. So there he is sitting before a television set with a chocolate and with a team sweater for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He took a breath and he died with the biggest smile on his face that anybody could ever imagine. Hey, listen, what kind of a life do you live? What kind of a purpose do you understand? What kind of a joy do you present for people? Let me ask you the question I ask myself. Are you growing spiritually? Do you focus more on God or on yourself? Are you consumed by your relationships with other people? Does your life reveal Christ in you? Are you seeking to be popular and well-liked for yourself or to glorify God through you? That's the question. How you doing? Do you understand that Paul himself admitted that he was a carnal Christian? The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do, I shouldn't do. And do you realize the Corinthian church was the most carnal church in the world? And he referred to them as carnal Christians. You see, the Corinthian church was like Las Vegas. Everything was okay. Everything was fine. Prostitution was acceptable. In the Corinthian church, they could do whatever they wanted. One man, as a matter of fact, had been living with his father's wife, committing adultery, while he was disciplined and removed from the church. But you see, the thing is, there's such a thing as a carnal Christian. What are you? Are you a spirit-filled Christian? Or are you a carnal Christian? I hated to admit that I was more of a carnal Christian. But you know what? Easy fix. Lord, forgive me and fill me with your Spirit. Give me a new day and a new song and a new opportunity and a new chance and a new relationship, fresh and clean. And like Herman and his dear wife, Jesus and I are still on the honeymoon. He has become the most important single thing in my life. But I'm afraid sometimes the old carnal nature leaps up and says, hey, Gall, I got something for you. What's your carnal nature say to you? Hey, I got something for you. What might that be? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that you've given us all that we need to be successful in serving you. And I thank you for all the good things you've brought into my life. I thank you for the things that have made me a better person. I thank you for my wife, and I thank you for my friends, and I thank you for my pastor, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.